This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Dan Hurley. In 1974, farmers digging a well near Xi'an, China, uncovered bronze arrowheads and shards of pottery. What came next has been called the greatest archaeological discovery of the 20th century, an army of 8,000 life-size terracotta warriors and horses, the tomb of the first emperor of China. Now, some of these warriors travel to Cincinnati for the first time. Terracotta Army, Legacy of the First Emperor of China, opens Friday at the Cincinnati Art Museum. Dan Hurley recently spoke with Cincinnati Art Museum curator of Asian art, Dr. Hume Sung, and director of marketing and communications, Jill Dunn.
Well, I want to welcome both Dr. Hume Sung and Jill Dunn from the Cincinnati Art Museum. This is a really exciting exhibit that has international implications. Yes. So what was the process by which the Cincinnati Art Museum had an opportunity to be part of this tour, a very limited tour? So how did what happened?
So this is a project that is years and years in the making. About 2 years ago, we really solidified some of the details, and Dr. Sung was a crucial part to make this happen. She worked together with a curator from the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts, and together they co-curated the exhibition and co-authored a catalog all about it. So they provided new research about this great exhibition.
And so it's been at the Virginia facility initially, and now it's going to open here in Cincinnati.
Right.
And that's it, right? These
right.
are the only two places
right.
in the United States people are
exactly.
going to have a chance to see.
Yes.
So, Dr. Sung, there's a massive number of figures
right.
that are part of the total.
Mm-hmm. About 8,000.
About 8,000, okay, the Terracotta Army. And how many are you going to be able to bring to Cincinnati, and what's the context you're trying to create for that?
We will bring 9 of the warriors, including a horse.
Okay.
That's life-sized. And then adding to that is the chariot, and that's the max we can bring here, according to the Chinese government. So
they're very careful about letting these
right.
figures out
right.
of China.
Right.
Very selective about who
right.
they allow.
Right. So that's typical for long to foreign countries, no matter what museum. That's the government rule.
And tell me a little bit about this Terracotta Army. I mean, United States thinks of itself as an old democracy. That means we're 240 years old, which in China, that's a blink of the eye. Tell me about these figures. What are their historical basis? Who created them? When were they created?
Well, it started with the ruler of the Qin state. His name is Ying Zheng, and he became the ruler of the Qin state at age 15. And but he didn't gain the full control of power until he was 22. And he, through a series of military campaign and a lot of political, economic, and cultural reform, he unified China. And he called himself the first emperor of Qin. And this whole tomb was built based on his lifetime achievement, the size of the and the systematic organization of the army, and all the other official or unofficial things that he during his lifetime.
This is a incredible experience to see it in its original setting.
Yes.
I had the fortune of being there 10 years ago in 2008. And Jill, you had a chance to go too, I understand.
Yes.
And Jill, why don't you talk a little bit about what it's like just to see the army massed, literally.
Yes, absolutely. So in January, Dr. Sung and our director, Cameron Kitchen, and I went to China with some of the representatives from the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts. And we were able to see the mausoleum, the excavation site, the museum that's there. And it was breathtaking. Just, I think the scale, you know, in your head, there are 8,000 warriors. But until you see them lined up as if on the battlefield, you have no idea what it would be like. And it is just truly, you just feel like you're part of history when you are at that site, looking at the rows and rows of warriors and knowing they were each individually crafted more than 2,000 years ago, just boggles the mind. And the more research they've done over the decades since they discovered them in the 70s, they found out that the level of detail and how unique each and every warrior is, it just makes it even more impressive. The fact there are 8,000, again, you can't quite grasp it until you see it in person.
Yeah, it's not that each warrior is in the same stance.
Right.
It's not everybody in the similar stance.
Different ranks.
Has the same facial features different clothing. I mean, it's amazing the detail that's
there. Everyone has a different official ranks, and everyone has individual features, facial features, and the costumes, the uniforms.
Jill was mentioning that these were discovered in the 1970s, which is
74. Yeah, 1974.
How were they discovered?
Oh, the farmers were trying to dig a well, and they found some shards, pottery shards, and they found some bronze arrows, and then that's how that led to the official archaeological discovery of the whole mausoleum site.
So really, for over 2,000 years, these were buried.
Yes.
In place.
Yes.
In position.
Yes.
In ranks.
Yes.
And so it's really amazing.
I know. I was just telling Jill that when I was in primary school studying about the Qin Emperor, we know all what he accomplished. We know all what he did, unified the country, but never could I imagine what's buried underneath that would one day led me to this exhibition. And it's so exciting.
My understanding is you grew up in Taiwan.
Yes.
And when was the first time you were able to go to Xi'an and see the army?
Oh, the first time is 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That was so exciting for me because everything come alive. And what I learned about the emperor is just from the books. But now, for the first time, I got to see all these things, what it means. You know, the whole army, the whole scale of it.
You know, I think one of the things that comes through is the amazing sophistication of the artwork.
Yes.
Of the craftsmanship.
Yes.
Of what the organization had to be in order to pull this off.
Right.
All of that is just amazing. And it is, it tells a lot of stories, not just, quote unquote, an art story.
Right.
Jill, let me ask a question. What is terracotta? What's the material that's being dealt with here?
Well, it's a type of pottery. It's a very delicate material. I think people might be familiar with it. It's a lot of pots are made with this material that are used in gardening. So it's used today, but they actually had very sophisticated ways to produce it with kilns, you know, the 2,000 plus years ago when they were making them with this army of hundreds of thousands of people who were actually working on it for the emperor.
So these are not carved block figures. These are fired.
Right.
They're colored. They're painted.
Yeah. Originally, they had bright colors. And some of the colors were now the scientists consider they were first created by the Chinese, like the purple and a certain kind of blue. That was so interesting to me, too. Unfortunately, we cannot see those bright colors on most of the warriors because once they're exposed to light, they immediately deteriorate. But the Chinese scientists are now working with experts internationally to try to preserve the colors.
Okay.
And we do have one warrior that has some red ribbons on the
Who will
top.
Be coming here to Cincinnati?
Yes, yes. It's one, you can see the color. So that's also exciting.
So a person who might be interested in visiting, and I know there's a lot of interest in this exhibition, what is it that you hope they might learn from this experience? Now, for you, as a person who grew up in Taiwan,
right,
you brought a sort of base knowledge. But
yes,
for most Americans, these are things that have been referred to sort of fleetingly on a news report or something. What do you hope people learn?
I think everyone will learn that how the Qin, how he unified China and all his major efforts in unification continued to shape the following dynasties and in China for 2,000 years. So many of the things we see today can traced to the Qin. For example, the Chinese written script was before the Qin Emperor unified China. Every state, every numerous little states have their own writing styles. And then he unified them, simplified them. And this script is connected directly to what we use today.
In terms of the Chinese characters.
Chinese written characters. Mm-hmm. And also like the coins, he unified currency. The coins was used, the circular coin with a square hole it continued to be used in China until the last Qing dynasty, until 19th century. Mm-hmm. So all that is very, and there are numerous other things. So I think in that sense, people can connect how China's beginning and how it continued this living kind of civilization continued.
You know, just as a way of putting this into some context, this is all happening at the time of the rise of the Roman Empire in the West. But of course, that collapses into the Dark Ages and the medieval period and then reemerges in the Renaissance. But we're talking about with China having continuity
from
all of that period. Not that there haven't been ups and downs, but continuity well into the 19th, into the very earliest part of the 20th century.
And also the English word for China is derived from the dynasty's name Qin. So anybody who knows China, and they know why it is so important, this dynasty is so important.
But so, it's important to point out that it isn't spelled the same way.
That could be a dialect. At that time, the Qin was, you know, the phonetic Wei Jiao, they try to pronounce, reproduce the sound, so it's Qin China.
Jill, as the person responsible for marketing at the museum, what do you hope that people bring to this exhibit and take away from this exhibit?
Well, Dan, this is certainly one of the most exciting exhibitions we've ever had. I think the fact that we're bringing in some pieces that have never been shown in the United States before, that the Chinese government has lent us these pieces, I think gives a great opportunity for every visitor to just really be enlightened. I mean, I had the great opportunity to go to China and be exposed to the culture and history, but we're bringing that to Cincinnati so that you don't have to travel to China and you can still get a taste for just the great value of this dynasty that we're focusing on, the importance of the artwork and the beauty of it as well. I mean, you're going to see gold, silver, bronze, jade, all in addition to the terracotta warriors that we have. So I think it's a great diverse experience. And again, you're going to find out about the culture and the history and really be immersed in it. So it's really exciting to be able to share that with this audience.
I think it's interesting, too, at this particular point in time when the United States finds itself in a bit of tension with China. China seems to be the new emerging power on the globe. And there's this conflict, and it is this opportunity. I know 10 years ago when I was in China, that was one of the great insights for me, that the sense of continuity, but the sense of fresh energy was really an interesting combination to me. And Dr. Sung, for you going back to China 2 years ago to see these, did you have enough time to sort of spend some time and get some sense of how the artwork relates to what's going on contemporarily?
I think the culture unites the countries. And I grew up in Taiwan, and I can see now people connect through artworks. And this time when we were in China, we also established a lot of new relationships with China. As a museum, we are planning a few future projects, publication, exhibition. So I think that's all very encouraging.
Besides the figures of the warriors and the horse who is coming, what other objects have you built around this to create context?
We have not just the warriors, but we have from the pre-Qin to the Qin, unified Qin, we have give context. We showed all kinds of objects, like the different weapons, the different the jewelry, the daily use for tools, and the currency, and also many of the objects that the Qin interact with their neighboring nomads. And I think all the horse accessories and all these help people to see a bigger picture, and from the pre-Qin all the way to the unification.
You know, it's you used a phrase there. Art is the way that people from different backgrounds can really interconnect.
Yes.
And there's something about an object, an artifact that is beautiful, no matter what its historic origins,
yes,
that anybody can identify with. And
yes,
so beauty on its own terms.
Yes. The animals, like the little silkworm, there's a bronze little silkworm that tells you how early China's the first to produce silk. And the very early appearance of a silkworm, and this one is dated to the Qin. I think people really can link to all kinds of things they learn about China.
Is there also an opportunity here, even though clearly, in one sense, the objects focus on the emperor or the ruling class, but the craftspeople who were involved in making all of this, it's really a way of pulling together people from lots of different parts of
the
society.
Exactly.
You're really seeing reflected here, not just the imperial side,
exactly,
but also the ordinary people.
Exactly. Like the tile ends, how they molded the tiles, and you can see the water pipes. You can see all kinds of architectural elements made by the craftsmen. And I think all that we are showing both the aristocrats what they appreciated, like the gold works and also the palace buildings. But we also see the common people's things, like those.
When you say
even a toy, we have.
You have a toy?
Yes.
So a child?
Yes. Well, a child made with the two, by joining two semicircle clay and put a little stone in the middle. And it's very interesting toy rattle. And that shows the prosperity of the Qin too.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, this unification of the culture, the cross telling that story. Jill, for you as an American, a lot of things that we can take for granted just because we live in a modern society, like the water pipes and the whatever, they had to be started by somebody.
Absolutely.
It had to come from someplace.
Yeah.
And it's just coming to grips with those little things that really can be fascinating.
Yeah, the level of craftsmanship that we're seeing with these pieces is just wonderful and mind-boggling. And, you know, Hume said that there are ritual objects as well. There's even a bell where when you come into our gallery in the museum, you're going to be able to hear what it sounds like when that bell was rung.
We placed a sound dome so people stand below it can hear the bell sound.
You're not actually ringing the bell.
No, you can't actually touch anything, but you can hear what
it
sounds like.
We're in a museum. Okay.
Exactly. but yeah, again, it really does capture mm-hmm. the entire culture, I think, at the time.
So, and what sort of programs are you putting together in relationship to the exhibit? Because it's the programs that make it come alive.
Absolutely. We have a wonderful learning and interpretation department at the Cincinnati Art Museum, and they're putting together quite a few different programs for families. We have everything from like Family First Saturdays that really are just a fun time for families to explore the museum. And then we also have lectures. So Dr. Sung and her colleague at the Virginia Museum of Fine Art that we mentioned, who helped co-curate this exhibition. So they're going to give a lecture in May on May
6th.
Mm-hmm. So there's a special lecture that you can attend. We also have what are essentially parties at the end of April, the final Friday. We have Art After Dark, and we're working with the Chinese Chamber of Commerce to bring in a full experience. We're going to have Oriental Walk. We're going to have music that is inspired by this exhibition. And during that time, the exhibition will be free. So it's a great chance for people to come and celebrate this exhibition.
Well, I think that's an interesting point here, that this is an opportunity for people of various backgrounds, mm-hmm. and especially the Chinese background, who are in Cincinnati to find something to identify with and to interact with other people. So that's a great opportunity.
We also have teachers coming in for evening for educators. So I will give them a talk and help them to get this material to their students.
Now, this is going to be open from April 20th to the public through August 12th. Now, that sounds like a long time, but that's not that long for a major exhibition.
And we're definitely anticipating crowds. Because of that, we are introducing time ticketing. So people will have to come to the museum. If they don't purchase their ticket online and select their time, they will receive a time to see the exhibition. Just we want to ensure that the galleries do not get too crowded, that you have a great experience when you're seeing it. And that's why we're doing the time ticketing for this show. Even when you come during a free time, whether that's Art After Dark or on our Thursday nights, you will still have to get a time ticket.
And that would include members would have to get time tickets?
That's correct. So it is always free for members to see our exhibitions, and that will still be the case. But they will need a time ticket, or they can either go online and choose their time or visit in person and receive a time so that they come in at a time when they can fully experience the exhibition and it's not overly crowded. But we did add this year... we added extra member hours, so members get an extra perk on Saturday and Sunday morning starting at 9 o'clock, and we even have special docent-led tours for our members. So that's it's a great time to become a member of our museum.
So are you in the process of training the docents at this point?
Just did.
Just did?
Yesterday.
Took care of that. So, well, this is just a really exciting opportunity for anybody in the region, and I think a must opportunity in the spring and summer here. So I want to thank both of my guests today, Dr. Humei Sung, and who is the curator of Asian arts at the Cincinnati Art Museum, and Jill Dunn, the director of marketing and communications. Look very much forward to visiting the exhibit, and also hope it is as crowded as you hope.
Thank you.
Terracotta Army Legacy of the First Emperor of China opens this Friday and runs through August 12th at the Cincinnati Art Museum. For more information, visit our website, wvxu.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Technical Director Josh Elstro. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Dan Hurley. Here and Now is next.